Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue following Jesus' ministry through the Gospel of Matthew, and we hear Jesus teaching his disciples about the mission and then send them out to do it. So let's read from Matthew 9 verse 35 to 10 verse 20. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Rather, go to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay in their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So what does this passage tell us about God's mission and the part that we are to play? Jesus tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The mission is to gather in the harvest, but we have only a few workers. And so he calls us to tell others about him, to introduce other people to the amazing kingdom of God. And he also tells us that we need to pray. When Jesus tells us to pray about something, we know it must be important. He says, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his mission field, into his harvest field." Are we praying for God's mission? Do we care enough about the world around us that we are asking God to bring in more labourers? God wants people to know him, but that will only happen if we have the courage to speak of him to others. So let us not forget to pray for boldness to speak out, for the chance to witness to the love of God to someone who needs to know it. But we aren't just called to sit back and pray. Look at the example of Jesus. Jesus embodied the mission of God. He didn't just tell people what to do. He lived it with every breath he took, every word he spoke, and every step he walked. And so how did he embody the mission of God in this passion? He loved. He had compassion and care. When we look at Jesus in this passage, we see him full of love and compassion for the harassed and helpless crowd who were lost, like sheep without a shepherd. The Greek word that we translate as compassion literally has the meaning to be moved in the inward parts. What a beautiful phrase. This is not a mere surface level sympathy or pity. It is not a fleeting sense of concern. This was a deep stirring in his soul. And Jesus still has this deep stirring of love for people as he looks at the world. He is moved in his inward parts for you and your cares, concerns, hopes and fears. He also had a stirring of love for those around us. Our families, our friends, our neighbours and colleagues, the people we interact with in our daily lives. So I want to ask both you and me a challenging question. Are we moved in the inward parts with compassion for others? Do we see the harassed and helpless state of those around us and long to come alongside them and journey with them, leading them to Jesus? Jesus' compassion for the crowd around him motivated him to demonstrate love to those around him. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit to help us love with God's love. And we have God's compassion for the to have God's compassion for the world around us. Are we willing to let the Spirit take charge and let us love people around us with that supernatural love and compassion? Are we deeply stirred in our hearts to see those around us come to have a relationship with God? Do we have compassion for those who do not know him? The next thing I want to focus on is the fact that God goes to where he is needed and he sends us too. So are we willing to go? Jesus went to where he was needed. This is true in a general sense, in that Jesus came to earth because he knew we needed him to rescue us. But it is also true in a specific sense as well. We are told that Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Jesus did not expect people to come to him. He went out and found them. He didn't set up in the temple or the synagogues and wait for people to come and see him. So how are we going out and connecting with people who need to know Jesus in our daily lives? Are we following Jesus' example? How do we go to where we are needed instead of waiting around in the church building for people to come in? A question I think we might find ourselves asking is, but how do we know where God wants us to go? Because we might think to ourselves, surely we don't want to try going and telling people about God in our own power and initiative. We have to wait until we hear from God, right? Now, that sounds like a good idea, but Jesus just tells his disciples to go and to try. I think sometimes we use the excuse that we are waiting to hear from God because we are scared and we don't want to fail, which is totally understandable. None of us want to fail, and serving God usually requires us to step outside our comfort zones and do things that scare us. But equally, we cannot allow our fear to paralyze us and make us unable to serve God. Jesus tells the disciples, "Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet." In these verses, it is clear that Jesus wants people to take that first step and try to connect with the people around them. He basically says, go out and try to introduce people to the kingdom. You go with authority and power and you can make a difference in people's lives. There may be times when you are rejected, when people do not want to know. It is hard, and it will be hard. Now, it is unlikely that we will be handed over to local councils and flogged in the synagogues, but we will face resistance and challenges of our own. There will be times when it goes wrong. We cannot let resistance stop us trying. Satan places fear in our hearts, and he whispers in our ears, saying, wait, stay safe and secure in the church. People will come to you. There's no need to go anywhere or say anything to people outside the church. But Jesus instructs us to go, to make disciples of all nations. He warns us that the Lord of the harvest, he warns us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So let's not make the problem worse and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Let me tell you a little story. An old farmer sat on the steps of his small shack, chewing on a piece of straw. He was approached by a passing stranger who asked, how is your cotton crop coming this year? I ain't got none, replied the farmer. Didn't you plant anything? asked the stranger. Nope, said the farmer. I was afraid the boll weevils would get it. Well, asked the stranger, how is your corn? Didn't plant any corn either. I was afraid that there wasn't going to be any rain. If you didn't plant any cotton or corn, what did you plant? Asked the man. Nothing, said the farmer. I just played it safe. Well, I guess if you don't plant anything, it makes the harvest a lot easier, doesn't it? If we don't ask anyone if they want to know God, it is hardly surprising that no one is coming to know him. Playing it safe means that nothing is achieved. Surely it is worth a bit of uncomfortable moments and awkward conversations, and it is worth the risk of someone saying, no, I don't want to hear this. Because when we do take the risk, we may see wonderful transformation and amazing stories of hope and salvation in the lives of people we know and love. And that is worth a lot. Finally, Jesus sends us, but he does not send us alone. We are always accompanied by the Holy Spirit, and he is longing to use you, to speak through you, to heal using your hands, to move with your feet, to proclaim the good news with your mouth, to love the hurting with your heart. Jesus sends out the disciples with authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. That same Spirit that enabled the disciples to do those amazing things also lives in us and is longing to work in power in our lives if only we let him. I can't speak for you, but I can definitely think of times where I have held back in fear and ignored the Spirit calling me to speak to someone. I find myself allowing my rationalization to tell me that God can't possibly move in the situation that seems so very dire. Or even sometimes I allow my biases or prejudices to say God wouldn't want me to speak with them about the kingdom of God. How can we allow the Holy Spirit to have more freedom in our lives? Let us open our hearts to what God is doing in the people around us. Can you imagine what an impact we would have if every person was able to speak to one other person about the kingdom of heaven, about the amazing hope we have in God? I believe we could see amazing things happen if we opened ourselves up to the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the world and in us. Jesus has given us the power and authority to do amazing things. And God speaks through us too. God doesn't just give us authority, he also gives us voice when we do not know what to say. I love the words in verses 19 to 20 because they give so much amazing comfort to know that when we are in difficult situations and awkward moments, God can provide us with the words we need. It says in verse 19 and 20, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I know that there have been many moments when I have been speaking with someone about God and faith, and I've had to totally rely on God to tell me what to say. For example, I had a conversation with someone who had been hurt by the church and was so very angry at the world, at God, and especially with Christians. At that moment, from a human perspective, I felt completely inadequate and with no idea of what to say. But I felt God provide me with words to say that seemed to reach into this person's heart through the wall of anger. Now, I don't know what happened to that person since, but I'm certain God was with me in that conversation, and he spoke to that person using my mouth. Who might God use you to reach? Who can he speak to if only you allow him to speak? Whose voice are you going to listen to? The one that tells you to hold back, give up, or stay safe? Or the voice of God who says, I am with you, my strength is made perfect in weakness? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have filled us with your Spirit, and you send us out so that we can tell others about how amazing you are. Lord, help us to trust in what you have called us to do. Help us to have courage and to go where you send us. In your name we pray. Amen.